RunDNA has an incredible range of running and walking footwear, apparel and accessories, catering for anyone who is looking for the right shoe and fit. They're trusted by podiatrists and physiotherapists right across Adelaide. The RunDNA fitter's advice is second to none. So if it's time for new walkers or runners, you can find RunDNA, 20 Manton Street, Hindmarsh, or the other location, 391 Fullerton Road at Fullerton. Both stores open 7 days a week, plenty of off-street parking. You can find them online as well, rundna.com.au. If you run or walk, then you need to RunDNA. Thanks for your company on Hooked on Sport. We are going to discuss lacrosse. We're going to do it with the number one lacrosse player here in South Australia. Certainly in my opinion, in pretty much everyone else's opinion, except for our guest herself, I'm sure, who'll be far too modest to take such credit. Olivia Parker from the Woodville Lacrosse Club, the South Australian lacrosse team, and of course the Australian lacrosse team. Thanks for your company on Hooked on Sport.
Thank you so much. What an intro. I'll go with it.
Olivia, we're going to talk about the upcoming State League season, which I know you're tremendously excited about, but we'll touch on a few other issues as well. Number one, I noticed last weekend the South Australian boys and girls under 18 teams have cleaned up at the national championships. It was down there at Brighton Lacrosse Club. They've beaten Victoria in both of the finals. It just goes to show there is a never-ending stream of talented young South Australians coming through.
Absolutely. They were incredible. What an absolute cleanup that they did on the weekend. Yeah, it was amazing to watch and see both the men and the women come through with the championship. It was very, very cool to be watching and also be a part of.
A few of those youngsters, your teammates at Woodville, I believe.
Yes, and I coach a fair few of them as well. There's seven of the girls that played in that team play for Woodville, which is amazing. So feel very fortunate to coach those girls, but also play with a fair few of them as well. So, it was a special thing to watch with the win as well.
Can you put your finger on why South Australia continues to be so successful on a national stage? I mean, I understand that New South Wales and Queensland aren't quite the embraces of this sport that South Australia, Western Australia and Victoria are, but South Australia is the smallest of those three states, continually stands up at national level.
Yeah, it's been amazing. The back-to-back for the women and also the men. So, yeah, I think it's just so many great developments in terms of the juniors, the school programs, clubs really, you know, putting in the volunteer work and getting out to the schools and doing clinics and making sure that we're growing the game as much as we can. We're very fortunate to have such high-level coaching here in South Australia as well. We've got the likes of Trish Adams, who's an Australian coach, but also Wendy Walsh, who was the under-18 state women's coach the last two seasons. She is an incredible coach and also did the Australian under-19s last year. So really fortunate as players to have such high-level coaching, and I think that plays a massive part in the success as well.
Let's turn our attention to tomorrow. It is Anzac Day. It is the traditional opener in South Australian lacrosse, and you have the privilege of fronting up on grand final rematch day because your team, Woodville, went so close against Brighton last year, cracking grand final at East Torrens against Brighton. I'm sure you don't want to relive the last few moments of it. it was tremendously tight, but it is quite the honour for your club to be stepping out to open the season on Anzac Day tomorrow.
Absolutely. And it is such an honour, and I'm very excited to step out on that field with my team tomorrow and take on Brighton Bombers. I think we both teams have had a different playing lineup compared to last year in the grand final. So I think it'll be a completely different game. I think it will obviously be still really close, but hopefully we get the win. We will get the win. I have to manifest that.
Yeah, you last played in the grand final, and it was another thriller. I reckon that was around about 2017 or 2018 at Norwood Oval. It went so close and then just dropped down that one level, and it went back to the traditional Glenelg and Brighton grand final. You seem to have stepped up this year. Do you feel like this you're going to be a little bit more sustainable this time around?
Yeah, absolutely. I think we have like such a great junior development coming through our Woodville. We have girls that are playing at high level state. I think We have a really strong future ahead at Woodville, and I'm really excited to be a part of that. Still, you know, young enough to play and help lead these girls into what will be a great season this season, but also future seasons to come.
It seems like there's a lot of sisters in this group. It's like four or five pairs of sisters.
Yeah, it's crazy. We couldn't believe it when we actually worked it out. We had a sister photo and we're like, this is practically the whole team. so that was pretty funny. But yeah, it's, you know, it is truly a family sport. And I feel very much one of our values as a team is family. And that actually runs so deep that we are sisters.
Brighton will be your opponents tomorrow and they'll be starting favourites for the premiership once again this year. They've won the last seven. I'm sure you look across at Brighton with a healthy dose of envy, but also some real admiration for what they've done. What is it about Brighton that they continually, they're the last one standing on grand final day?
Yeah, it's, you know, they've got the recipe, right? They've got great coaching, a great connection. They also have a family tie within that as well. And I think they have this winning mindset. They've done it once before and they keep doing it year after year. So it is so impressive what they have achieved. Absolutely. But we're hoping to make that stop and actually have Woodville on that championship podium. But like I said, Brighton are very admirable in what they have achieved. Seven in a row is amazing and never been done before. So very cool for them.
Just touch on the remaining clubs in the competition. Of course, Glenelg, who've been very, very successful, even without winning flags, but certainly historically one of the power clubs. Burnside, who are probably just off the pace a little bit. I think they've missed a bit of experience. Certainly Sarah Lowe retiring from the game has had a bit of an adverse effect on the way they've progressed. And are we going to see North Eagles again this year?
Yeah, we're absolutely going to see North Eagles this year. They played against the under-18 state team in pre-season and they're looking really good. They've got a new coach, Beck Halloran, who's really come through and is helping develop their club and helping them the state league team develop, which I think is amazing and credit to her. I think they'll be really stepping it up this season and really giving it to Glenelg, Burnside, Woodville, Brighton. It's really exciting for the competition as well. I think, you know, the more teams, the better.
Just with the fact that lacrosse is heading to the Olympics in 2028, do you think that that will allow clubs to maybe expand and we could see six, seven, even eight teams in the women's competition playing state league in the next 5 to 10 years?
Absolutely. And it's already, you know, people, lacrosse is in the Olympics, like that is, you know, kids dream of that in any sport. So to have lacrosse in the Olympics, it's such an amazing thing to grow our sport. And I think kids can now play lacrosse with the admiration of being a future Olympian. I think that is so amazing and something as a kid I dreamed of, but my sport was never in it. So to have the Olympic name attached to lacrosse is just going to grow the sport even more. And I'm just excited for what's to come for lacrosse and, you know, more kids playing, which will be amazing. And it's such a great game. I think now that lacrosse has the Olympic title next to it, I think now everyone will see it and want to play.
I do want to talk about the Olympics and the Olympic format of the game shortly, but let's just touch on the men's competition. I know it's sort of at arm's length for you, Olivia. I mean, you play on different days as much as anything, so it's probably difficult to be 100% across what the Woodville men's team's doing, let alone the entire competition. But what are you expecting to see there? Brighton, of course, bounced back and won it last year after that epic North Eagles victory the year before. And it was almost a bit of a shame that that was disbanded just in the weeks after that title happened. But what do you expect to see in the men's competition this year?
It's funny you say that. I actually asked, we had a Australian Invitational Olympic camp and we had mixed with the men, which was the first time ever that had happened. And so got a chance to actually speak with a couple of the players and chat about what they're expecting this season. And a lot of older players have retired, which we'll see a bit of a shake-up in the teams, a lot more younger players coming through. So especially from Woodville side, I know that there's they're a lot younger team this season, but same with Glenelg and Brighton. Obviously, Burnside as well in the top four. So I think those four will be really strong. Sturt as well, I think. I don't know. I think it'll be pretty close as what I can hear. But I think Friday will be telling with the Brighton versus Glenelg Anzac Day match.
100%. I think it was last October, Olivia, South Australia or Adelaide hosted the inaugural Olympic version of the sport, the national championships. It was franchises mm-hmm. that were fresh and new. And I think yeah. you were drafted to the Sydney team from memory.
I was. Yeah.
Just in isolation, how did you find that event that was sort of picked up by its bootstraps and there were decisions being made on the fly, but it seemed like it had, by the end of the third day, had an incredible yeah. feel to it.
It was amazing, honestly, to be a part of their first ever Olympic tournament, Sixes. It was incredible. It actually felt, and I said this in my post-interview, electric, and I still feel that to this day. I felt like I left that tournament being like, that was so amazing to be a part of. But also I know people watching were like, this is unreal. Like I just, even my dad was, he's a traditionalist. He loves field lacrosse. And he was like, I love Sixes now. Like after watching this tournament, it's so fast, it's engaging. Yeah, it was really fun to be a part of. Lacrosse Australia did a great job on getting that off the ground and pushing that forward in 2024. And I'm excited for 2025. I think it's just going to be another step up on the year prior. Hopefully it's in Adelaide. I don't know where it will be, but it'd be pretty cool to be here in Adelaide and have supporters come down and watch.
You did say that you left that tournament excited. I think you left it a little bit bruised as well. My recollection is you and Ashton Hiron, who a star from Victoria, had quite the physical altercation. So there is perhaps a little bit more physicality in the Olympic version for the women than there has been in the traditional form of the game.
Yes, Ash is actually one of my WA, she's from WA and she's one of my really good friends. And so we always say like, make each other better. So, you know, that was her way to make me better. So, yeah, no, I left that tournament feeling a bit bruised, but wouldn't have it any other way, honestly. It was really good fun.
I don't think it's any secret, Olivia, that you're one of the players earmarked as potentially heading to LA for the 2028 Games. We're 3 years out. It's a long way away. I'm reliably told that you are training really hard, getting yourself into that mode of heading towards what's going to be a semi-professional sport for you soon enough. Does it all feel real yet?
No, not at all. Honestly, I just can't believe that it is a potential and an opportunity, and to be a part of that currently is just amazing. Every day it's like something new is happening and there's a new opportunity, or, you know, just even talking about it gives me goosebumps. It's really cool to be a part of, and I'm excited for lacrosse and what's to come. And yeah, I feel very honored and grateful to be a part of that in my era of time, I guess. I know a lot of players, you know, retiring are like, damn, I wish, you know, I was 5 years younger. But yeah, I just feel very lucky and very grateful.
Interestingly enough, you make that point. There are a lot of players retired now, many of whom who were still around for the last World Cup, where you were selected as an alternate and then got in to play a game on the back of, I think it might have been a COVID-related exclusion for one of the incumbent players in that team, scored an incredible goal against the United States in that game. So you've had a taste of it as someone who was a youngster coming in. I mean, you are going to be prime time for your age, and I guess everything else that you bring to the game is going to be pretty much tip top for you in 2028.
Oh, I hope so. I really appreciate the pump up. Yeah, I hope so. And, you know, I'll give it my absolute everything. Yeah, train hard, you know, really just give it my absolute all and do the country proud. As yeah, I just feel, yeah, really honoured to be part of this era of lacrosse. And, yeah, it's really unfortunate for a few girls that, you know, having babies and it's just not the right timing for them. But I know that their full support is backing whoever is selected and whoever's chosen. And, yeah, the support is massive.
You've been a star of traditional lacrosse, Olivia. You've won the Bonython Medal here in South Australia 3 times, I think. That's led to at least one, maybe two, of the national, like the Brownlow Medal, if you like. You can tell me the name of that award. Yeah. It's the
Shelley Maher.
There you are. Thank you. I'm glad I've got you here helping me with my research. I think you've won that a couple of times as well. But that's all in traditional lacrosse. To what extent have you had to adjust the way you've played? And I made mention that it's a bit more physical, but adjust the way you've played from tennis-a-side to six-a-side.
Yeah, it's definitely a different style. It's a lot quicker. You have to be able to think really quickly and be able to get shots off really fast. Whereas in field lacrosse, you have no shot clock. You have all the time in the world. So definitely have to adjust the thinking and the mindset behind strategies and like how to get goals. shooting accuracy has to be 100% almost. That's so key and so important. So definitely have had to change my game and make sure that, you know, shooting is something that I practice every day. But yeah, I think it is similar. It's got aspects of field and aspects of box. I've played box lacrosse before as well. So I'm really fortunate to be able to have played field and box. It's bringing those two games together and into one. So I feel like I've got a bit more knowledge in that space because of box. And, you know, box lacrosse is such a great game as well. It's very physical. Like you said, six is very physical. So it's very similar. And yeah, I think, you know, bringing those elements into sixes is going to be beneficial to my game. But yeah, it's just learning and just always training, really, and playing as much sixes as I can.
Just to wrap it up, I can see the Serafina sign in the background, which is your place of work. A good mate of mine, Michael Siciliano, of course, is the big cheese there at Serafina. So just give us a quick wrap on what your role is at Serafina. And if people are in the market, where do they head?
Oh, well, I feel very grateful to work for a company that is so flexible with my lacrosse commitments. Honestly, Michael and Emily, who own this business, is a South Australian owned women's fashion brand. And they're just like amazing bosses and amazing people. So if you're ever wanting to support a beautiful family business, it's women's clothing. So, you know, partners, if you're listening to this, you can buy for them. But yeah, it's always everyday fashion. And so, yeah, it's a beautiful family business. So very grateful to work for an amazing company.
Michael would be across a lot of things, but I don't know that he's the fashion icon. He's not steering anyone into what to wear, I wouldn't have thought.
Yeah, it's absolutely his wife. Yeah.
Thank goodness for her. Olivia, thanks so much for your time. We wish you all the very best for the Woodville season, but and beyond as you pursue that dream of Los Angeles 2028. We hope it all comes together for you, but we really appreciate you joining us here on Hooked on Sport.
Thank you so much, Ben. Thank you for always supporting lacrosse and myself. Yeah, you're amazing. Really appreciate being on here and being a part of it.
We'll see you during the winter.
Sounds good.
That's a wrap on another episode of Hooked on Sport. Special thanks to our guest Olivia Parker. A quick reminder to follow us and leave a review if you enjoy what you hear. Your support helps Hooked on Sport reach even more sports-minded people just like you. We appreciate your support and look forward to your company next week on Hooked on Sport.
If you're enjoying this podcast, I'd encourage you to take a listen to Beyond the Club. It's a project I've been working on with Flinders University. Now, I co-host it with Professor Sam Elliott, and we break down all the latest research on how to maximise the experience of junior and club athletes. There's a range of resources, special guests, and cutting-edge info on how you can make your club a safer, happier place for your kids and their club mates. Beyond the Club, wherever you get your podcasts.